and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host for a part of today's show. The host for today's show is here, Brother Davis, and it is a Wise Wednesday. It is July the 19th, 2017. Wow, this whole year is just really flying by. 2017, it is a Wednesday, Wise Wednesday, and we're looking forward to that show for you all today. And before we get into today's show, everyone continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You can do that by going to the website, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. You'll see the donation prompt that's there. Hit it, follow it, and give whatever it is that you can give so that this network can continue to do what it's been doing and will be here in the future. Also, you can support the network by becoming a member of its social media outlet known as BTR Community. You can also find that on the homepage for Black Talk Radio Network. You'll see the capital B with the black background. It's only $24 a year, and with that, you can engage in all of your social media activities in a more holistic way without being adversely affected from FedBook and everything else. So come on over to BTR. And it is a great, great place to be engaged in the social media aspect. And all of your activities will be more secure as far as not having your identity sold and you being adversely affected for your overall engagements and your social activities, as long as you are, you know, of course, within great reason. As long as you're not doing any crazy things, and I don't think anyone that's there has or would. So come on over to BTR Community. It was set up for you as a social media network for you, and you can find that also at www.btrcommunity. Also, if you would like to acquire real metals, real money, you could do that at prosperitymint.com. Prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in inventory, then email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com before you make your purchase. Just email and then someone will get back to you to make sure that you understand the full buying potential. Also, let me see what else we got here before we're going to have a short what's in the news, because we want to get into today's Wise Wednesday show. And today's Wise Wednesday show where Brother Davis is tell us all about a book that inspired you. We'd like to know what the book, why it inspired you, who the author of the book was, so they could share that information. So we'll be getting definitely into that today. Give Brother Davis a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. So a couple of things that I definitely want to get in the news before we get going, because I want to give Brother Davis enough time for today's show. It's a lot of good stuff there. But specifically, everyone, please continue to support and give some of your donations to my man, Michael Emmanuel, who is recovering and just finished 1 month ago, finished his last chemotherapy for the germ cell cancer that he had. And his family needs some things, some specific dietary things that will help him detox his body from the chemo and from the cancer itself, so it can stay in remission and just to regenerate his overall body and cells. So if you could help out in that, please go to GoFundMe.com/ Sam Union Yankee 5P-3500. Very, very important that we do that. There's a lot of good stuff that's there in the news. Check out that. I don't want to. We'll see how it goes. I wanted to give Brother Davis ample time for today's show. I think it's very, very important. So with that being said, we're going to turn it over to Brother Davis. And I got my books, Brother Davis, that inspired me, that I would like to share with you all, for today's show. If you'd like to get in, you have any questions or comments, and you want to participate in the show with Brother Davis, as I suggest that you all do, because it's so, so important. Give him a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit **. We'll see you in queue, and if someone is talking, you can unmute yourself and say, excuse me, and we'll hear you, and we'll definitely get into it. So we're going to jump into the show with Brother Davis. Brother Davis is there. Brother Davis, welcome, and thank you for today's show. Looking forward to it all. And I got my books that I want to mention for today's show, Brother Davis.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. And Dave, I'll tell you what, brother, you can start the show off with your selection and the degree to which it made a difference in your life.
Man, Brother Davis, thank you so much. I'm glad you, I love this. The books there were three books that I chose for this, and I'm going to be real quick with them all. Number one was My Bond and My Freedom by Frederick Douglass. And the second one, and I wanted to pull in a surprise book, was actually a couple of series of books that Zachariah Sitchin wrote. And particularly the Earth Chronicles and the 10th Planet was very important. And then the last book, and I'll tell you why they each were. And then the last book was definitely The Judas Factor, The Plot to Kill Malcolm X by Carl Evans. And those were the books that I chose. I mean, it was so many books. I mean, The Book of Five Rings. I mean, it's just so many books, but those are the ones that I chose. And let me tell you why I chose that. First of all, with My Bond and My Freedom by Frederick Douglass. To me, it was critical for me as a young man, as a young child, when I read it in the times that I read it over and over again, because to me, it was an accurate depiction of a time, a moment in history from a more authentic and sincere point of view. I generally don't like a lot of fiction. I like, nonfiction or things of that nature, just because of how I resonate. But that book was so, it was important to me because it really gave me, it helped me to deal with everything that I was dealing with individually as a person, and taking the tools from Frederick Douglass that he used and speaking about the overall journey. And I thought it was the most sincere and authentic cultural depiction of that moment in his life and in many other lives. So that book was just, that was just phenomenal for me. It changed me. Well, it opened up so many doors for me to look at things differently, to process differently. And it actually, for me, it helped me out so much. And so that would be the number one. And the second book I talked about was actually Zacharias Sitchin's The Earth Chronicles and the Tenth Plan. He has a series of them. And the reason why I liked what Zacharias Sitchin did, because Zacharias Sitchin knew that in the field that he was in, and I loved how he told his truth about it. Zacharias Sitchin is not, he's not black at all. But what I loved about it was that when he came to talking about the Olmecs and speaking about the overall, his whole series of things, what he did was he exposed how foolish the system is in trying to use, you know, race as a way to nullify or to defranchise or to hide. And absolutely love what, you know, particularly when he's talked about the Olmecs, his response to how the Mexican government was hiding this information and would not put out all of these statues of his comment when he was giving tours to people was classic. And he says, well, the only reason why this isn't showcased and this isn't highlighted more is because of the foolish nature of racism. Ridiculously stupid. This is how truth gets lost. And it was, you know, even though he was funded by the Rockefellers and everything else, but I just thought that it was really credible how, and if you read some of his books, you could see how he was trying to send a message without disturbing the balance in order to get the message out. See, and it was very important to for me that I picked up from him that the information, the truth, was more important than to have it to remain a secret or hidden. And I absolutely love that. Then the last one was The Judas Factor, The Plot to Kill Malcolm X by Carl Evans X. If you haven't had the chance to read that, very, very important. It was important for me because I grew up in Jersey and I traveled and I went into Newark and actually in the epicenter in so many ways as to individuals and the whole, you know, a whole arena to silence Malcolm. And growing up as a child, I knew of and was shown individuals that was allegedly complicit in it all. So that reading that book, some of it I already knew, and it validated some of the things that we knew, and it was a very, very powerful book for me because it showed, for me, it showed the real strength of Malcolm. Let me tell you something about when you travel certain journeys to help people. Everybody has an opinion as to what you should do, but very few people will do what they're telling you to do. And Malcolm was unmoved in so many ways, but still, all in all, there were things that he had to deal with personally. But what I loved about him was the same thing that I noticed in a couple of other people was in, particularly Tupac, was Malcolm's loyalty was unspeakable and unshakable. And so that overall book chronicled the conspiracy and the engagements to silence a threat. And that threat was the threat of people realizing what their full potential are and their capabilities are. And what I loved about Malcolm was that he didn't shy away from it. knew it was coming, made the decision, I could do it or I don't have to do it, decided to do it and knew what the consequences or the fortune in that would be. And I don't do idol worship, but I actually admired, and there was a lot of things that I wanted to emulate from that overall spirit, that steadfast spirit. And that book really brought out a lot of that for me as a young man growing up and, well, maturing. And so it was very, very important. So those are my three books, Brother Davis and everyone else. Everyone else, call in, tell her about the books, give the author and tell them why they meant so much to you. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Davis. Brother Davis, thank you, thank you, thank you. The floor is all yours, brother.
Thank you, my brother. You made some excellent choices there, and your reasoning and rationale are right on point. And see, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show, well, first of all, let me be very clear. I want people to understand that we are learner death. And what is the pivotal point of learning is your ability to learn on your own. And that's why reading is so positive and fundamental to knowledge. Another reason why I wanted to point out specific books that were, transforming in your life was because there are so many things going on nowadays. I mean, I could speak about books all day in reference to what I've read and what I've gained from them and how they helped me in my transformation process. But I really wanted to get with the people to let the people open the doors to the other listeners so that they would have the incentive to call in and also give us feedback. Because I think the biggest problem, one of the largest problems, I'm going to say the biggest problem, one of the largest problems with our young people today is that they're not doing enough reading because they become a part of the digital era. And the sad part about the digital era is that a lot of them want things instantly. So therefore, if it doesn't come with the press of a button or a turn of a knob or within a short period of time, then literally they may miss something that is transforming. So hopefully in this show, they will maybe hear one or two books that are stimulating enough for them to say, you know what, I'd like to know more about that. So let me give you one of the books that I have read, and I know this is going to be a very controversial. And the reason why is because the main phrase of the book is called, "If It Has to Be, It Must Start With Me." Now, the reason why he entitled it that is because the book's title is called Religiosity and Spirituality. And the difference was, at that particular time, I was really heavy into the church. I mean, I was studying so hard and doing so many teachings and being a part of so many different programs. But me and my wife were in a relatively large church, and we were the pallbearers. And being the pallbearers in the church, armor guards. Being the armor guards in the church meant that we worked directly with the minister and his wife. So therefore, we were privy to a lot of information and a lot of information that we studied. But yet and still, when it became to our personal growth and we started to get questions, we were being avoided. And that kind of was a catch in my crawl, because literally, I mean, I've worked with you every day. You understand what I'm saying? Closely. So when I have a question and it seems like you're trying to avoid this question, you make me ask other questions. And in doing so, those other questions came out to, well, let me ask you this here. What is the importance of the role religion plays in your life? Well, one of the things that came out was it was a choice. And then I said, So when I started reading this book by let me put it out there, Professor Dr. Taba Hiawatha Cabernet. He literally was pointing out that in this opening statement, if it has to be, it must be me. You see, in religion, you have to wait for somebody to help provide what you need. But in spirituality, through due diligence, you can provide for yourself. And I thought that was really, it was empowering to me, because now I could really tap into those things that I didn't realize was an access to me because I wasn't opening those doors. So that was a powerful influence on me. And as I began to get deeper into understanding, I was pulling further and further away from religiosity, because religion was a choice I made and spirituality was empowering me to be. So as I began to understand the two dynamics that were involved there, I found that I wanted to have a greater degree of control over the successes and the failures in my life, because in every failure there is a lesson, and if you apply that lesson to your next attempt, eventually that failure becomes a success. So that's why it was so powerful to me. And I would hope to think that if anyone else reads that book, they will come up with the understanding that there is a lot more available out here. And it just put me on path to reading information that I didn't realize was so transforming, not only to me mentally and spiritually, but also physically. So this is Wise Wednesday, and I do want you to pick up the phones. Call. Tell us about the books that you've come across that were transforming to you and that allowed you to be able to examine yourself on a closer scale so that you can improve the quality of person that you are. And the best part about that is that there's probably someone out there that was where you were. And that may be a tool. The book you bring out may be a tool that could work for them in their transformation process. So here we are on a Wise Wednesday. I want anybody who's listening, and everybody who's listening, if you have a specific select book that you want to point out for specific purposes, please call in and do. Another book that was powerful to me was the Metu Netur series. Now, why was that? Because it began to allow me to think of myself not only as an individual, but the attributes that I could tap into to help me to grow to be better. And that was also the foundation of my understanding that in order for me to be better, I should be doing things that are going to improve my surrounding, help other people, become a part of something greater than myself. And literally, I mean, that began to allow me to view myself through different perspectives, the duality of person, of man, or of an individual, which I've discussed on several of my shows before. All of my shows are basically focused on transforming oneself to be better or to see or achieve what it is they're trying to, whatever it is to go is they're trying to reach. One of the things that are so important about self-awareness and personal growth is that when you start with yourself, it branches out. It branches out immensely. And the reason being is because you now are empowering your light to shine brighter. So as I began to really walk this path of growth, I begin to realize, well, I need to be focused on also to make my light brighter, how I can empower myself to be able to become stronger. And in doing my due diligence, I came across a number of books. One of the books that I came across was The Vegetarian, and that was empowering, but it only opened the door for me to wanted to go out and learn more. But The Vegetarian was a book that literally was breaking down your body to the aspects of how it operates and what it requires. And I learned through the book, The Vegetarian, that your body is already in tune to a natural nature. Your natural nature is what you do, your breathing, and how all of your organs come together. You have seven essential, what you would call chakras, but what we call networking points in your body. And these glands literally operate the body from its position of how it applies the energy in order for another organ to kick in and do its job. And before you know it, your body is functioning as a unit. And all of these attributes know exactly how to do their jobs. And I thought that was powerful, because now I begin to realize there's something I can feed them to allow them to be able to communicate with me. And doing so, I could, if I was sick or not feeling well, I could be able to detect that and even evaluate. You know, a lot of people say, you know, when I don't feel well, I got a headache or something. Well, see, your body may be speaking to you. If you have a headache, your body may have lacked sleep. It may need something as basic as water. And a lot of times we fail to realize that. Even when you're hungry, the American concept of a diet is 3 meals a day. Okay, and each one of those meals, according to marketing, and I make that very clear, according to marketing, you should have meat with every meal. That is not healthy for your body. And the reason why it's not healthy for your body, because meat serves a purpose, but you can get too much of any one thing. And that's what has happened to the American diet when it comes to meat, because it's been marketed 24/7 and around the clock. And the sad part about it is, until we grow to understand that, we may be victimized by the consumption or overconsumption of meat due to our lack of knowledge or understanding how the body functions. Another thing I thought was powerful was the aspect of exercise. Yes. You know, your body doesn't require a great deal of exercise, but it does require you to get your heart rate up above, should I say, 3 times your age minus 24. Because that way you're hitting a heart rate at which you have raised it enough for it to be able to get a good workout, but allow it to come back to a mutual area of beating. Now, why did I say that? Because your age makes a difference in your heart rate. And if you're going to operate on a level in which you can really begin to feel yourself exhausting your energy, building up a sweat, but you're not going to overstrain your system. A lot of times we do that, because especially depending on our frame of mind, because we have been taught to be competitive. But in competition, it doesn't have to be the fulcrum of you getting good exercise. But once again, in Western world, we're marketed sports to be not only a form of exercise, but a form of self-indulgence. And for those of you who might say, that's a little far-fetched, well, look at things like the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, and more recently to the game of soccer. When I say more recently to the game, I mean the way money has been put into it to make it a popular norm for you to be able to sit back and either enjoy or participate. But it's marketed to you so that you make an investment in it. And that investment may not be to go out and play the sport to get the exertion for the physical exercise. It may just be parting from your dollars. So therefore, you're putting a little bit of your essence in to do something like wear a shirt or watch the game, or even be have a circle of camaraderie in which you literally finance a certain degree of you getting together at a business. Say it might be a sports bar or something, and you guys come together to watch the games. You're wearing your gear and everything. Well, literally, you're feeding into a marketing aspect that only enhances the power of sports influence in our lives. And your choices are your choices. I don't have a problem with your choices, because literally I'm answering to mine. And the reason why I'm bringing this out to you is because that was an attribute of physical exercise that I really never gave thought to. But the author of the book that I was reading was telling you that there is a politics in every social endeavor that participates in America. And the book is called Science, Politics, and the Media. And it's written by a guy named Amander. Amander. And he really goes.
I think we lost Brother Davis. One second.
I'm sorry, did I lose you?
No, I think you dropped your mic, Brother Davis. You got two people in queue. Well, no, one person in queue when you're ready, Brother Davis.
Excellent. Bring them up, brother. Bring them up.
Okay. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your question or comment for Brother Davis? The area code is 404.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Brother Dave. Hey, Brother Team Davis. Let me not exclude your wife. Sorry. This is Jada from Atlanta. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Jada. How you doing?
All right. Can't complain. The book I wanted to call in about was Corrupting the Image by Douglas Hamp. It's a good book because just like you, Brother Davis, there were so many questions that my apostle couldn't answer, and I started to go a little deeper myself. And I said, okay, God, great creator, there's so much out there, but I believe the you know, these facilities were created to control information so you wouldn't go out there and look and really educate yourself, because the word itself, the Bible says, you know, to study to show thyself approved. But when you are a master manipulator and you control information, to me, the word also says that you're a warlock and or a witch. So when you feel that you can control information that wasn't, that's not yours to control, you know, really, who do you think that you are? And you're stunting someone's spiritual understanding and or growth. And they can never succeed because they have that spiritual control over you. So when I started looking, you know, a little deeper and started reading different things, and the man explains, you know, he does use the word of God as a reference, as do I. I love the word of God. I love the Bible. But, you know, there's a reason why that we go through so much in life, and it's not coincidence. You know what I'm saying? There's different energies, there's different, you know, things going on. And but when you cage someone's mindset, you cage their soul, and they become a slave to that person. And I refuse to do that. So even me and the place that I had formerly gone, you know, basically they got upset with me because I left, and I was there for like 8 years. But I had questions, and I said, well, if they can't even answer my questions, the word also says that there's nothing new up under the sun. Someone else had written information, and there's things out there that I can get in touch with so I can really understand what they're doing. And, you know, they're hindering your spiritual eye. So when things really go on, they really don't touch on issues. And I definitely agree with what you're saying. They don't touch on real issues of really what's going on. And when you do bring up questions, they try to stifle you and or, like, shun you. They like, oh, don't talk to her. Don't deal with her because she's not on the same page. You're doing me a favor, because that means I'm going to start doing the right thing concerning my walk with the great creator. You're not going to dictate my walk and tell me what to do, but I'm going to start spiritually looking into things that I need so I can grow, instead of you putting your foot on my neck and controlling me as you're being controlled. So that's how I felt about it. But the book is called Corrupting the Image, and there are other forces out there. They don't really talk about, you know, aliens and angels and the demonic frequent. They don't touch about any of that stuff. It's just like, it's just us. And you wonder why so many Christians or other groups look through life through a myopic lens, because that's what they're being droned. They're droned into teaching like it's drummed. They're like, as soon as the drum starts to beat, they you know, it's just like you have that one queen of the hive and everybody else follow. You know, but absolutely, when someone else starts to tap into something else, they look at you like you're the crazy one that actually leaves. No, it was the best thing that I ever did, because now I see and understand there's more out there than what I'm actually looking at, and I'm grateful. So, yeah.
So how did you feel when the personal revelation made you reach a point where you knew you had to make a stand?
it felt good, but I was up under attack, especially when people would take me into the office, or, you know, the men and women of God would actually take me into the office and say that I was doing things out of God's will, and, you know, and I told them I had to stand my ground, even by myself, and I had to let them know and say, no, you're wrong, because you can't even answer the questions that I'm asking you. So, and then you're making me feel like, oh, well, you're not part of the group. I don't want to be part of a group. And that's what the problem is. Everybody wants to be accepted. And that's the reason why, you know, I didn't want to be accepted by them. And my husband used to say, they're intimidated by you. It's not that they were intimidated. I would bring up things and spiritual things that they themselves didn't ask, you know. The word says, seek the great creator, seek his face. So I would ask questions, and he would show me. And they would look at me like I was the oddball or I was out of sorts, and people would take me to the side. Oh, how come you just can't fit in? Well, I'm a circle and you're a square, so why would I try to fit in your spot? I'm not trying to. But, I just couldn't do it anymore. And it was rough because people wanted me to do what they wanted me to do, and I wouldn't. Even now, even as a child, I was like that. So if someone would tell me to do something, I would say no. And they would say, well, you're being disobedient. Not when it comes to your mental health. That's something. This world is so demonic when it comes to the mindset. And that's where I draw the line. You know, it's bad enough you're messing with everything that's all around, but why would you want to go into someone's personal space? My mindset is where the great creator dwells, and you actually want to jack me in my mind? That's where I draw the line. And you're going to actually sit there and lie? And I took my apostle to the side, and I told him the truth, and he didn't like it, and he looked at me, and he avoided me, basically. Through every cost, he was like, I don't even want to deal with this girl, because, you know, that's fine, but I know I'm free. And
you know, it's interesting that the transformation, because at one point they were clinging to you in reference to how you can apply what you were saying to the organization of obedience, but when you were speaking out, you were literally challenging, and it wasn't that you were challenging them. All you were doing was seeking the greater truth, that's all. So I can identify exactly what you're saying, sister. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, that was it. I mean, if people can kind of get into books like that, like Corrupting the Image by Douglas Hamm, and there's another one by Thomas Horn and Chris Putin, and they talk about the CERN and portholes. This is very important stuff to us as people, you know, because... Man, it's just, I mean, when I sit and I read it, sometimes it's just like mind-boggling, like people don't, you know, if you ever sit down and talk to anyone, they'll say, oh, you sound crazy. I'll sound crazy then. It's fine, but I know it's true, you know, whether it's talking about the city of Atlantis or talking about, like I said, the portholes and specific times and the CERN and them playing with things they have, you know, things, or even transhumanism, you know, taking human DNA and mixing it with animal DNA. It's just interesting, and people don't want to talk about it because it's, to them, scary, but it's not scary. It's real. You know, it's real, and people really need to understand what's really going on. And from the outside looking in, you know, every time I look up at the sky and I'm like, well, who's looking at us? You know, because there's so many different dimensions, you know, opening and closing.
Right.
And closing. So that's all. I just wanted to share. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I tell you, everything that you've added is another part of the collective knowledge that we need to apply to our lives on a daily basis. So, yes, we'd like to encourage you that something else comes up to you during the course of the show. Hit us back, because everybody's coming with content, and that's what we want. So I appreciate your call. Is there another one? Did you say was in queue for the day?
Yes, Scotty wanted to chime in. Great, great call, Jada. With you all the way. I know what I know. Go ahead, Scotty.
Excellent. Hey, Brother Davis and everyone. Hope that you are having a productive day. Some of the things that Jada just mentioned, I got from Malcolm X's biography, which was written by Alex Haley, and that book had a profound influence on my life. To when I read it, it was things that I was learning but didn't fully grasp until it came up years later in my life. And so I know that sounds like an easy choice for a black person, the autobiography of Malcolm X, again the one written by co-written by Alex Haley. But what I learned from that, it taught me that even an intelligent man such as Malcolm X can get pulled into a cult and
Absolutely.
His own reason, you know, start doing things or adhering to stuff that goes against your own reason. But what I love about it is that it shows his transformation, not just from a person out there committing crimes of survival, you know, during that time period, but then getting into organized crime and then coming out of that and going into the NOI. But his stance that he took when he was a member of the NOI showed me what integrity looks like, because we do live in a society that's dominated by cults of personality. That means, you know, these figures who take on a larger than life role in our life. And we literally look at them like they are gods and not other men yeah. and women, other human beings like ourselves, full of flaws, you know, as humans are flawed. But his integrity, that he could have just shut up when he found about them little pregnant, you know, teenage girls and whatnot. He could have kept that on the down low. And not said nothing and been the heir apparent, which he was going to be. But his morality, his moral compass, his integrity wouldn't allow him to do that. And he made a very difficult choice. And he knew what the choice he was making to be an advocate for these victims. He knew what it was going to cost him. He knew it could possibly cost him his life. Nothing came in between him and his integrity and his will to do what was right. But then also his transformation. You know, sometimes I see people, and it's not that I'm judging them, because, you know, what I learned from Malcolm is don't judge people, don't condemn people who don't know what you know or think as you think or think as fast as you think. I mean, just so much I learned from him. And so I don't judge people who are in a, let's say, for lack of a better term, a stage of consciousness. Because we, you know, that term consciousness, or let's just call it coming into knowledge of truth, that happens at different time periods of people's lives. It has to do with who they come in contact with, what books they may read, and, you know, just other external forces that have put them on a path. It may put them on a path earlier than some, because their parents brought them up a certain kind of way and exposed them to certain knowledge. Or it may come as a 40, 50 year old man. So, you know, everybody comes into that knowledge, but it kind of bugs me, but I understand. So I'm not feeling any kind of negativity towards these people, but they will quote Malcolm X from a certain time period in his life. Okay. Where later he clearly tells you he wasn't operating under his own, how did he put it? I just saw it in a video. He wasn't operating independently as an independent individual. Right. When he said those sort of things. And then as he had later life experiences, he changed his mind on race and white people. And you know, he came to the point to where he said, I work with anybody that's trying to change this miserable condition on this earth. Now, you know, and then he also knew that religion was dividing a lot of folks. And so when he started the Organization for Afro-American Unity, he made it a non-religious organization to organize the political power of all Afro-descended people here in America. And so, I mean, he was just continually evolving. And I got the best praise or compliment somebody has ever paid me when a person I met through Facebook, she's an attorney, used to live in Tennessee. She lives in Ghana now with her husband, but she's always coming back and forth. But, you know, we would talk on the phone and stuff like that 5 years ago. And she told me a couple of weeks ago, she said, "You are an entirely different person than you were 5 years ago." And I didn't ask her, you know, what do you mean by that? I knew exactly what she meant, because I had transformed my viewpoint from some things when we first talked to, you know, it just evolved. And she noticed that. So she, you know, that was a great compliment to me. I don't know if she knew that. But that book had such a profound influence on my life. How I got introduced to the book was through the music of Public Enemy. They would talk about Malcolm X, and then Spike Lee came out with the film X. And then when I got sent to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War, I was like, let me read about this X. Let me read more about Malcolm. Let me pick up the auto, get my people back home to send me his autobiography. And I kind of like was struggling spiritually at the time, because I was reading that book and I was imagining Malcolm walking down the same streets as Riyadh as I was walking. And I started thinking, I was like, you know, I don't know. You got so much religious dogma out there, all these different religions under different names. And I cried out to the Creator from my spirit that I don't know what's true. And I need you to guide me in the right direction. Okay. And so, you know, that kind of pulled me out of organized religion, and it truly established a personal relationship, you know, with the Creator, which I don't talk a lot about it because it's my personal relationship. And I know how religion can divide people. So I don't talk about religion a lot unless, you know, it's in the context of something else that we're talking about. So that book, the autobiography of Malcolm X by him and Alex Haley, I mean, I still learn lessons, you know, every day, you know, from that book. But that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Hey, Scotty, you have just simplified tonight's show, because literally you had spoke about things you had read in the book that you didn't evolve to understand until later. And that might have been a couple weeks later or a year later. Okay, but I wanted to point out to you that, once again, reading something that is so fundamental can be so transforming. Thanks a lot for that call, Brother Scotty. And, okay, Dave, let's move to the next call.
Okay, great, great, great. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show on this Wise Wednesday. What book and what was the author of the book that had a great influence on your life? Go ahead, Brother Roz.
Hey, peace to you, Brother Dave, Brother Davis, Brother Scotty. powerful, powerful show. I just want to piggyback off of Scotty first, because I emphatically agree with him. To me, that's one of the most powerful alchemical texts to show the transformation of black people, the power of that sort of transformative experience. And I had a very similar experience, spiritually speaking, when I went through Kemetic initiation. I had a similar, I would say, Elijah Muhammad-esque type of experience. So I totally understood Malcolm's transformative experience on a much deeper level when I went through that situation myself a number of years ago. And to me, it's one of the most important texts I think black people should have in their home library, just because it just is so chock full of information. I think Scotty gave a great, great insight into some of the other things you can garner from the text outside of just the autobiographical information and historical information. And I think that it was brilliant the way that he broke that down. There were so many books, because I have a very extensive library. There's so many books that have done some things for me. I'll share a couple and try to be as brief as possible. I would say definitely Brother Davis brought up the Netunetta. That entire series did a lot for me as far as just helping me better understand who and what we are as Black people, and just how powerful we can be, and how much you can take control over your existence on a metaphysical level, and better understand, excuse me, religion itself, and your role as a human being, as an expression of the Creator in the universe, what you're supposed to be doing as a Black living consciousness. Another text that's similar to that, that also had a very powerful impact on me, is books by Mulata Ashby. He has Egyptian Yoga, Volumes 1 and 2, and he has an entire pantheon of books. There's so many books that he's written, it's just ridiculous, on the comedic origins of meditation, the comedic origins of Buddhism, the comedic origins of Christianity. I was just talking to Jerry about this yesterday and today, and I told him, I said, if you really don't understand comedic spirituality, you can never be a true good Christian, because the origin of that is in Kemet. And, you know, ultimately, if you read some of the older white people like Wallace Budge or Count Volney, these were white people who were racist. And they actually said out of their own mouths, Wallace Budge said it in Osiris, it's Osiris, God of the Egyptian Resurrection, is two volume set, and he said the first Christians on earth were people of Nubia. And he also said what I found to be true, they never called it Christianity. but if you study the origins, it's just study comedic spirituality, you'll find a lot of what people find sacred in Christianity there, and you'll probably get a much richer and deeper understanding of what those spiritual practices put in motion are about and what they look like, and you'll learn that there's way more than Ten Commandments as well.
Absolutely.
Another great book was The Judas Factor and the Plot to Kill Malcolm X by Carl Evans. That book gave the most comprehensive detail on what happened to Malcolm X. It also gave great detail on what happened to Che Guevara.
Hey, wait, hold on, Rod, you missed the beginning of the show. Of the show. You got to come with another book.
I'm just messing with Rod.
I was just messing with Rod. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, Rod.
Yeah, that book has so much powerful historical information and declassified documents from the FBI and the CIA. It's mind blowing. Another one that will piggyback off of that would be Kenneth O'Reilly's book. Oh my goodness, Racial Matters. Racial Matters, a history of FBI spying on the Black community, I think from 1960 to 1973. That's a book Dr. Wilson and Neely Fuller also say should be read before people read their books. And their books are also books that I recommend. The ISIS Papers and the United Independent Code System concept for victims of racism, white supremacy. That book helped me to understand the world that I really live in. It helped to make me sane. It helped me to really understand what I was born into and what I didn't ask for, but what my spirit said, this is the time that I was to be born, and this was the fight that I was to pick up. That book helped to facilitate that consciousness in me. The ISIS Papers really helped me understand the machinations and psychopathology of white people, and gave me a blueprint on how to function in the world in a way to make myself more safe and to facilitate helping other people understand the world they live in and function in a more codified and manner to make themselves and their family safe. Yorugu is another one that also deals with the psychohistory of white people, how they think. The History of White People by Neil Painter, another great book that gives the history of how the term white people and Caucasian came into vogue usage and their history as a collective people, powerful text. Medical Apartheid by Harriet Washington, Dr. Harriet Washington, that helped me understand the medical system and the things that have been done and continue to be done to our people, unbeknownst to our people. And it gave great insight into that history, both contemporarily, dating all the way back to slavery. She gives the most comprehensive history ever written on that subject. Another one would be Killing the Black Body by Dorothy Roberts, and then Vernelia Randall also has a text, I forget the title right now, but it also deals with how to navigate the medical system safely as a black person, questions that you need to ask to your doctor. I learned from Vernelia Randall the fact that whenever you're ill, you should never go to the hospital by yourself. You should always have a family member or close friend with you who is not sick, who can function and think clearly, so that, because when you're ill, you're only thinking about feeling better or whatever pain or discomfort you're in. You're not necessarily thinking about your safety. So that person will be there as a buffer and a protector for you to look out for your best interest and make sure that these people don't experiment on you or put you in a life-threatening situation. So those are very important texts. Oh my goodness, man, there's a few. The Delectable Negro by Vincent Woodard really helped me to understand the system of white supremacy and the consumption of black people. The literal consumption, the metaphysical consumption, the energy consumption, the time consumption, the attention consumption. I mean, every form of consumption you can think of that is practiced on black people, you learn about in that text. And it's all historically based with historical stories of slaves' experiences for you to get a real intimate understanding of how they eat us. And they eat us more than physically eat us. This is metaphysical, this is spiritual, this is energy vampirism. Every form of vampirism you can think of, it addresses in that text. And it's one of the best books, I would say, to understand the way the system functions as well. T. Lothrop Stoddard, he has a book called The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. He gives a great insight into genetic annihilation and how that works in the minds of white people. He is a man who had a powerful debate with W.E.B. Du Bois, and W.E.B. Du Bois in short order dissected him in short order and all of his racist concepts. But I think it gives great understanding into how these people function. And once you understand how your enemy functions, you can then work about thwarting their machinations. The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene, another one that helps you understand how the mind thinks and how to gain better control of your immediate surroundings, whether it's with people or functioning on the job or functioning in business. It also gives the blueprint to me, the blueprint of how white supremacy functions, the psychopathology of it. The 48 Laws of Power outlines that way that is just unfathomable, I would say. Those I'll just put out for now. Like I said, I don't want to take up too much time, but those are some of the books that had a very transformative for me. So thanks again, beautiful show, and I'll probably chime in later, but I'll mute my line for now. Thank you.
Excellent. Now, for those of you who haven't, I always start my show out with saying this. Let me say it before it's too late. You should have a pencil and piece of paper with you right now. We're getting nuggets that if you miss, you're going to miss some content of information that you could apply to your life at any given time. And I also would have added Carter G. Woodson's The Miseducation of the Black Black Child. We are coming up on a break. And so after the break, I want those people who haven't had a chance to call, give the information about transforming books that they've read, to please give us a call. Let us know what you found to be transforming, as well as what reading that you're doing to help you grow to be a better person. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. We're coming up on the break, and after the break, we will be right back.
And live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Not a
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It is a Wise Wednesday. Brother Davis is there in queue. As soon as he comes back up, we'll get back into the show. Great, great, great reference, Roz, Scotty, Brother Davis, and Jada. I mean, just phenomenal how we've all some of the things that we've all read and what they mean to us is so different, and I truly, truly appreciate that. So, Brother Davis, are you there?
Dave, he's not back yet. His mic is open.
Okay.
But one of the things I forgot to mention that I learned from Malcolm in reading that book is sometimes you got to stand alone, you know?
Yes, you do.
Sometimes, you know, people are popular or things are popular. And when your mind processes what's going on a different way, you may see things differently than the masses. And so sometimes you got to stand alone. You got to be willing to stand alone. You got to be willing not to do it purposely, but for people to get pissed off, you know, because the truth can hurt sometimes, you know. And so, you know, that's another thing that I learned from him is about sometimes you got to stand alone. You got to go against the grain. Everybody else calling it mass incarceration, but I see it as slavery, so I'm going to call it by its real name. So that's what I mean. Sometimes you got to be alone.
You have another caller in queue, just so you know. Yep. Okay, we got a caller out Colorado Springs. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show on this Wise Wednesday. What is your comment as to what book has been influential in your life, and who's the author, and why was it so influential in your life? You're on with Brother Davis.
What's up, Scotty? What's up, Dave? Brother Davis, Rob.
What up, Ramon?
All right.
Hey, Ramon.
Hey, it's been many of books, but the one that particularly changed my life is the Bible. And the reason why it changed my life so much here recently, when last year we had that incident where that little disabled kid was raped with a hanger up here in Idaho. I don't know how many people tuned into that story. And something about that particular story set me on a mission that one day me and my mother was talking about their last names. Their maiden last name is Stewart. And I started looking into that, and somewhere within this, I don't want to make this too long, somewhere within there I was led to King James. And later as I found out, as I started to dig deep into King James and his story about life, I would have to say that man is the most underrepresented, under-talked about person that never comes back out of to the surface or even to the forefront of a book that he's supposed to be. He didn't author it. He actually sent some scholars out to find out what was going on in the land of England and Europe at the time. And they came back and they discovered that this land that at that time was being turned upside down, what we know today as Christians or Christianity. And all he was simply trying to do, once they found out what was going on, he knew about the plot to come over here to America. Now, I've heard people say King James signed it, but I don't think a lot of people know that King James has been whitewashed. They just released the Oxford edition, I mean the Cambridge edition of King James and the Christendom. Clearly, on the book, he's a black man. And his mother was Mary Queen of Scots. And when I checked into all of that stuff, they've been whitewashed down to the ground. But when I got deeper and deeper and started finding out more, Mary Queen of Scots is black. And a lot of people have been telling this story that King James was a gay. He left a full-volume elegy for his son, denouncing, as a matter of fact, he said homosexuality was almost worse than murder. This man left books and stories to his son, Charles I, who would later be murdered. Now, here's why I'm bringing that up. The reason why King James's lifestyle, being that I'm starting to find out my family bloodline leads back over there to him from my mother's side of the family. What makes his story so interesting to me and how it changed my life is because King James' story is identical to what we saw happen to Barack Obama here in America. he was sought after because he was such a he really was a man who tried to practice, you know, the best lessons God could give us or that we could muster in ourselves. And he wrote so many so many private letters and stuff that's available now if people want to go read them online. But particularly you should read what he said to his son, Charles I. King James, I don't understand how people can't read that Bible, the Old Testament, and ask themselves, you know, what are we looking at here? What are we reading? My understanding, King James was trying to warn the people over here, which would be us, about the oncoming slavery that we're into today. That's the book that changed my life. That man's life, what he's about, really brought everything else we're talking about today. I'm not talking about from a religious point of view, because most people don't understand King James was not even Christian. He was a Jew. His religion was Jewish. And so therefore, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't writing in favor of Christianity. He was just simply sending out his scholars to find out what went on. He was betrayed by a cabinet member, just like Barack Obama, named Anthony Welston, who went on a campaign and started calling him gay after he was dead, but they forgot there were people in the city or in the country that were personal friends, associates, or somehow knew of this man, and they were all murdered and assassinated for standing up to say, those are bogus propagandists. That's not true. He, matter of fact, he was so against a lot of the stuff that we see today. Most of the laws that were put out by King James were all in favor of keeping people on a keeping people humane, basically. So that's who changed my life, and that's the book. It's called King James and the Christendom, and Cambridge University just put out the unedited version of it. Very excellent book. I would ask anybody to read it. Thank you.
Excellent, man. See, now this is what I'm talking about. Getting to the information that may not have been available, that you're getting exposed to someone else through someone else's experience. This is the power of this type of show. Brother, the book, the content, the presentation, and the way it influenced you was right on point with what the show was about. I appreciate you making your contribution, and you'll feel free to add in during the show if you come across something else that you feel is powerful reading that others need to at least be informed about. Dave, is there anyone else in queue?
No one else, Brother Davis. Man, powerful, powerful there, L.A. Ramon. Everyone that's chimed in, just phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. No one else is the line is clear, Brother Davis.
Excellent. Okay, well, look, since I got another opportunity, I'm going to throw another book out here that I enjoy reading because I was into a personal growth process. And in my personal growth process, I wanted to learn how I could sustain the quality of life, meaning being able to focus on my health. So I ran across a book called The Complete System of Self-Healing. It's all about internal exercise, and it's by Dr. Stephen T. Chang. And I was a student of Tai Chi for many years. And in doing Tai Chi and understanding the different breathing methods and as well as postures and then doing forms and everything, your mind starts moving into an area of meditation because your focus is so on point of what each movement, the muscles and everything in those movements involved. Then I begin to say, well, how can I make sure that what I'm doing is going to be enhanced as I grow older? Because that's a lot of times people fail to realize that that is the first process of the human body. So that took me into self-healing teaching. And one of the most powerful ones I've come across with internal exercises by Dr. Stephen T. Chang. I would suggest anybody who's in a point where they're trying to develop themselves to a point where they can move to the next level and maybe not even have any need for medical care at all because of your ability to be able to take control and maneuver your body through exercises to literally help heal organs. So that was another powerful influence on my life. The phones are open. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday, and we're full of content tonight. I do suggest have a pencil and piece of paper so that you can literally take some of these pearls of wisdom and add to your library. I've always been one to say we are the generals, and if we decide to do something, then that may affect those people who are around us. And believe me, this is one of those type of shows. So,
Brother
feel,
Davis.
Please feel, yes.
You got two callers, Brother I'm Davis. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I did want to say this, though, since you always talk about healthy stuff. Just recently here, my mother was walking through my backyard. We're still in the middle of landscaping my property. She noticed, she asked me what's growing on my yard, and I just assumed they were weeds, literally. And we were getting ready to shave them down. She went to look, and she said, no, these are lamb's quarters. And I had no clue. Obviously, this is training she learned from her mother, who, you know, would have been in ancient times, in my opinion. But lamb's quarters are wild-growing weeds that are actually edible. They are, I mean, you can do so much stuff with this. When they bud up, the quinoa is what you can get out of them. The reason why I wanted to point this out, in most people's yards, they may see what they think is weeds that are actually vegetables. I just found out I'm sitting on about 4,000 square feet of green gold.
Excellent.
And if anybody's interested in knowing what lamb's quarters is, I can put pictures up for them or whatever, pass information on, but it might be sitting right there in your yard. You can do porridges, soups, salads, actually like greens, you know, like turnip greens and all of that. This stuff can be turned into so much stuff, wine, you name it. Thought I wanted to share that. It's called lamb's quarters. Little white.
Excellent.
Weeds. Yes.
Thank
I'm you, Ramon.
You
that's phenomenal.
That,
go ahead, bro.
I'm glad you added that, because I'm going to tell you something. I have a book here. I can't even think the name of it offhand, but it tells us about how to identify vegetation that is edible and medicinal to the body. So literally, that's what has happened when your parent noticed something that you couldn't identify with, but she could relate to directly. So excellent content, brother, and please, you feel free to add to the conversation of the show tonight. If we have another call, Dave, let's go to the call.
Brother Bragg. Need not say any more.
Hey, Steve. Hey, listen, man. You know I'm a book junkie, right? So I don't have a favorite book. All books are my favorite. I'm just messed up like that. But look, this set of books right here, I feel that everybody should look at them. There's five books in this set. These books are written by a melanated brother by the name of Lee Cummings. The title of the first book is The Negro Question. They're all a Negro question. It's five books. This book tells you all about King James and Stuart Kings. Stuart Kings were Moorish kings. It's really deep. Now, he was speaking of King James's thing, right? King James is always man. Where is it at? I was sitting here ripping through. Okay, let me run through these books right quick. The Secrets of the Law Symbol. The Unauthorized Guides, The Secret Societies, Hidden Symbols, and Mysticism by John Michael Greer. The Lost Continent of Mu, which is man. I'm into this book like glue. This book will really take you back and make you think. And this book is written by James Churchwall, who knew introduction by David Hatcher Childress in The Lost Continent of Mu. The other book is The Ankh, The African Origin of Electromagnetism. And Noor Ankh Amin is the author of that book. Then the other book that I'm messing around with right now is The Emerald Tablets of Thoth the Atlantean, translation and interpretation by Durrell. And then the last book is Esoteric Egypt, The Sacred Science of the Land of Kim, J.S. Gordon. All of the books I read are to expand my mind. I get a lot of education. Most of it is every day trying to better myself. That's why I read. Reading is fundamental to the development of a good soul. It's you. As a man thinking is how a man goes. And a man's actions determine the things that happen to a man or happen for a man. So if you do good works and you think good thoughts, you can manifest good action. And that's all I got to say. I love all these books. Oh, and the last but not least. Now, this book is the American Patriot's Almanac. This book right here. It tells all about the history. It tells about wars, like, for instance, 1614, Indian Princess Pocahontas in Jamestown, Virginia, Collins, John Raff are married. 1621, the Mayflower sails set sail for Plymouth, Massachusetts, return to England. George Washington cast the first presidential veto, rejecting a bill to appropriate weapons among the states. And it just gives you these pieces of information that you probably wouldn't see anywhere else. I was looking for the one about King James. I had it until I started moving around with all these books. Here it is, 1606. Because we know it's 1603, King James came to America. Why did he come to America? In 1606, King James, one of England, charters the London Company to establish settlements in America. So King James also came over here with his license, charters, and grants. License, charters, and grants give people to do things that they normally ordinarily couldn't have done. It gives them a license to do things they couldn't do. So King James came over here, and he enslaved people over here. These are the things that's hidden from sight. District of Columbia, D.C., all of these places. This almanac here will blow your mind because it tells all the Indian names of these of towns and whatnot, and what things happen. Most people don't know 90% of these places in America are named after, for instance, Louisiana, nicknamed Pelican State, Bayou State, named Origin, in honor of King Louis X1B of France, capital Baton Rouge, area 551,840 square feet, population 4,000, things like this. Kentucky, nicknamed Bluegrass State, named Origin, perhaps from an Indian word meaning Meadowland, capital Frankfort, area 40,000, population, date entered June 1st, 1792, motto, United we stand, divided we fall. That's Kentucky. Maine, named Pine Tree State, origin unknown, perhaps after the French province of Maine, or perhaps from the word Maine, a term used by sailors to refer to a mainland. Just things like that. And that's all I got to say. I just love books, man. I'm a junk reader.
Great content, brother. I'm going to tell you, please, y'all, have a pencil and a piece of paper. We're getting stuff here that's not available on a regular basis, let alone the eclectic readers that we have to give their representation of their thoughts. So please, do take advantage of this opportunity. Dave,
go to the classroom.
Okay, if there's not anyone else in the queue, then let me say this here. In reference to the
No, Brother Davis, I'm sorry. I couldn't get to my phone in time. No, lines are clear. 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. Then hit **. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Excellent. Let me say this here, because I really want people to understand, especially our young people. Reading is so foundational to personal growth that it cannot be measured during the time that a lot of material that we're hearing today, when these brothers and sisters was reading it, they didn't grasp the totality of it all. Over a period of time, when other parts of the puzzle came together, they said, wow, that's what was meant. And you know, a lot of us go back and read a book two or three or four times because now the picture and the understanding becomes more personal. And when it does that, that's what you call a revelation. And when you get a revelation like that there, that makes an excellent testimony when you get to speaking about that book and the influence it's had on your life. That's one of the reasons why I definitely wanted to do this show. So, because you know, you always hear people say, oh, black people, if you don't want them to know something, put it in the book. Not around the people that's here. The people that's here are going into these books that you may not know is available, exposing the information that may open the door for you to do your own due diligence. So please, I always say, if you're going to listen to Black Talk Radio, sit down with a pencil and a piece of paper. That way you can grasp and catch as much as you feel that you need. Fill your cup. All right, this is Brother Davis coming back at you, and we are having a powerful show here tonight. The information that we're getting, the books, are phenomenal. So if you want to add to the show, do feel free to call. Let me add another one of my favorite reads, and that's the Kemetic, because we were talking about Kemet earlier. But I have a book called The Kemetic Diet, and this book takes you into not only why we are different coming from a warmer climate and why our nutrition requirements are different, but it also gives you understanding on the foundational principles of being human and how the Kemet could establish a quality of life, prosperity, and growth for thousands and thousands of years and literally trade all over the world without confrontation. to the degree that they've been so embraced at different places that they left their mark by the local people. And you've heard the Olmec heads and things, you've heard the pyramids. You realize pyramids are actually showing up on basically every continent? What is unique about that is that shows the physical footprint of the wideness and the dimension of Africans on the world today. And one of the unique things about this is that just what we're going through right now in these societal social changes, one day people will be picking up rocks and reanalyzing what we did at this time and the effects on the world. I'm hoping that we can embrace what we're doing now in a positive way, because every society has a point at which it rises and then it falls. What we want to do is be able to leave this place better than what it was when we came. And that's a powerful statement to make. But there are a lot of things that we can do. And one of the main things we can do is work on us so that we can come together and collaborate and change one voice, raise the volume, and make changes that are going to make a difference. Another good book that I've gotten that is good is called The Sun, the Solar, and the Energy Around It. It's written by a guy who is a MIT graduate, and he came to the revelation of what Tesla was trying to tell people in reference to how the sun was the engineer of energy. One of the unique things about it is that he even points out that Tesla studied in Kemet or Egypt for at least 7 years. And a lot of his ideas and the teachings that he came back to Europe with and then to the United States transformed the way of life there. So literally, although there are things that happened thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, they are still vital and important today. So please take your time, give a call, let us know what has had a great influence on your life. A number of the books that other people have written that I have also read was Dr. Francis Welsing's book, The ISIS Papers. That's a powerful understanding on why there's so much competition that is going around in the world today. And a lot of it is genetically based. And a lot of people don't realize that a lot of times the science that you see is going on is not working for your favor. It's actually working against you because of a greater fear than we literally see outwardly. And the reason why I say that is because you take things like Margaret Sanger, who was a part of the eugenics group when they started with that whole Planned Parenthood. See, people were given Planned Parenthood as a way for women to have someone who's going to directly reflect on women's health issues. That's the way they literally advertised it. But there was an underlying plan that it had to do with not only the destruction of the black family, but the elimination of the black family. And it also had to do with the government's, should I say, conspiracy to conspire along with the same idea. So don't think for a minute, and when I say don't think for a minute, I mean that we are not under attack on every level. You've heard me talk about the food, you've heard me talk about the water, now we're talking about the literature that's out here. Please, we have a role to play, and we must rise to it. And the first thing you have to understand is what I started. If it's got to be, then it must start with me. And that is a role that anybody can take, because it doesn't have to be social. It might be medical. It might be nutritional. It might be dealing with the media. It may be dealing with the way you're interacting in your community. But all of these play a role. So feel free to call in, add your content, and allow us to be able to expand ourselves by something you may have read that we have an interest in. So, is there any other calls coming in, Dave?
Okay. I also want to point out in reference to...
Yeah, Brother Davis, there's one... and I think it's Ramon. L.A. Ramon wanted to jump in real quick, Brother Davis. I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead, caller. May not be L.A. Ramon. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show, area code 719. You're on with Brother Davis on this Wise Wednesday. What is your comment? What is the book that inspired you, and what is the author of that book, and why did it inspire you?
It is me again, Dave. It's Ramon.
Okay, it is. Go ahead, Ramon.
I just wanted to add, or at least try to put something out there, or put something into Brother Davis's conversation. I mentioned before on the show that one revelation or eye-opening experience for me when I was doing my electrical training and we were having a school, I would encourage any and everybody that wants to really understand how the earth moves around to read on the theory of magnetism. One thing that has been put out there is that we are not using north and south the correct way. On the show some time back, I was pointing out that supposedly the Greeks had noticed a stone that was attracted to iron, which they later called magnetite, which is supposed to be found in the Asia Minor of magnesia, is what they call it. I mean, in the magnesia. They were able to notice that this stone being attracted to iron, when they placed it on a piece of wood in the water, this is the first, I would say, European version of a compass. They found out the true north and south of the earth is actually in reverse of how they taught us to use it today, based on the earth's magnetic pole. So what we know today as north is not north. It's actually south. It's why those people that study Egyptian knowledge, when we hear the upper Nile and the south Nile tends to be in reverse, for people that know that, that's the whole, to me, that's proof in how we've been turned around. That we've been told where north and south is, but if you were just to use earth itself, you'd find out where north and south is. They called it a leading stone or a lodestone. It's a stone. It's a lightweight stone. It's attracted to iron. It's called magnetite. You just put it on a piece of wood. If you can find a source of water that supposedly runs north and south, you will find out the true direction of north and south, and it is not the way we've been told today. Thank you.
Excellent content, man. Now, you really got me wondering, so I'm going to ask this general. When you say water that moves north and south, are we talking about things like the Mississippi River, the Nile Valley?
Exactly.
Okay,
yes, sir. Yeah, we talk about things like that. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this here. Does a particular position in which you take, in other words, if you're in the south, does it make a difference? Does it make a difference if you're in the northern area? I mean, or is it just going to have a natural gravitation to magnetic north?
Let me see if I understand how you're asking this question. Here's what I gathered from it, just studying it and trying to get better understanding of it. I think what they're saying is the flow of the water on Earth is the true poles. It's how you find the true poles, magnetic poles of Earth. Because of the way that we see things or have been taught to see them, we're always working in reverse of them. But did that answer your question, Brother Davis? I don't know if I actually understood your question, sir.
Yes, it did, because I was speaking in reference to the geological position. But what you're saying is it doesn't make a difference whether you're north or south if you're dealing with a source of water that flows that way. So, yeah, that
exactly.
Answers my
it's
question.
True. Okay.
Hey, can I jump in real quick? I got a question, just want to make a real quick comment about what L.A. Ramon. Ramon, thanks for, man, L.A. Ramon, thanks for saying that. And it's so, so true, because you look at the importance of how the animals traverse their overall cultural sustainability is based off of the magnetic north, and the poles actually switch. switch and they move. And it's just like in the earth itself, the magnetosphere is actually, you know, it can be thinned out, it changes, it moves in accordance to the sun. And it's so, so important. And the, when you said that they've actually got us always going in the wrong direction because it's actually opposite, that is so powerful because of this. Not only do they have us that way, but they tell us that the Earth actually orbits around the sun. And that's not the truth. It actually is, our solar system is actually being drugged through the universe. Everything is so... you know, a part of the overall conspiracy to control, because you lose your bearing. And so I'm just glad that you put that in, L.A. Ramon, and I don't want to take up too much time, Brother Davis. So we got a commercial break coming up, and then you got another caller in queue, Brother Davis.
Sounds good. Let's do the commercial and come back.
The Black Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Excellent, excellent. Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back. Let's go to the caller in queue, Dave.
Okay, Brother Bragg is back in. Go ahead, Brother Bragg.
Please. Hey, man, I tell you, I'm a junk reader. I was just thinking about one of the books that really, really touched me. This brother's name is, and I might have to get Raz to say this name, Ashakamarusa Barashashango. Man, let me spell it for you. I-S-H-A-K-A-N-U-S-A. Ashakamusa Barashango. Did I do better that time? But the name
yes,
of the book
did.
Is...
Yes, you did.
And European Holidays of Mental Genocide. And I just want to run a couple of things by you real quick. First of all, they speak of J.A. Rogers here and what they say about J.A. Rogers. Joel A. Rogers, now he's a black historian. He doesn't get the credit that he's supposed to get. I've had some of his books for like 20-some years. When I first found the Moors, J.A. Rogers got all the Moors' heads all in his books. I mean, all of them, the families and everything. But I didn't know what they were in reference to because the Caucasian people were using the Moors' heads. I'm like, why are these German people using Moors' heads? Why they got black heads as the family crest? Well, after they murder you off, they take on your name. That's another topic. This brother, J.A. Rogers, he was born in 1880 to 1966. Over 50 years, was one of the foremost black historians in the world, a true scientist. Rogers conducted his work under great difficulty with minimal funds and much personal sacrifice. He had been ridiculed and untrained by some misguided Negro scholars because he held no college degree in the field, and listed by some white writers as an example of those who write persuado history, fantastically glorifying the achievement of Negroes. One English editor complained that the reading of Rogers' work made him feel as if the white race had never accomplished anything. Uh-oh, that's true, though. These criticisms were nothing but murder, plunder, and pillaging. Now, I want to just touch a couple of things, and I'm going to run out of here. The mental state of the pilgrim. 44 of the pilgrim fathers died in the first winter in America, and Governor Bradford said of the survivors, scarce 50 remained. And of these were only 6 or 7 sound persons. That means all the rest of them, 6 people, were stark raving mad. George Thorpe, a highly educated colonist, thought, however, the despondency was the real cause. He said in 1621, more do die here of disease of the mind than of the body. At the first Thanksgiving celebration in 1621, there were only 6 or 7 sane people left at the whole pilgrim colony. The rest were mentally deranged. In other words, putting it into modern everyday language, the bulk of them were just plain crazy. Pilgrim cannibalism. Captain John Smith, 1580 to 1631, wrote, so great was our famine that a savage we slew and buried. Poor sort took him up and again and ate him, and so did divers, one another, boiled and stewed with herbs, and one amongst the rest did us kill his wife, powdered her, and eaten her, part of her. The Great History of Virginia. Another thing I wanted to run by you, the pilgrims as drunks and sodomites. Even the early pilgrims, and this is the African people in European holidays are mental genocide. The pilgrims as drunks and sodomites, even the early pilgrims of New England, though very pious or were forced to appear so, weren't all the hardworking, very desirable characters. We have been led to believe Governor Bradford writing in 1642 of severity of the punishments in his colony and said, and yet all this could not suppress the breaking out of sundry notorious sin, especially drunkenness, uncleanliness, not only incontinence between persons unmarried, for which many both men and women have been punished sharply, some married persons, but that which is even worse, sodomy. Nonetheless, Mayflower ancestry is still considered the highest in the United States. Now, the other thing they tell you, he tells you where the founding mothers came from, the prisons of England. I'm not going to read it all, but this book right here, and again, this is book one. Book two goes into Europe, and it tells you all about the people, how when they went to war, they would paint themselves in this colored dye. They wouldn't wear any bottoms. If they would subdue you on the battlefield, as soon as they subdued you, they were going to sodomize you. This is how they roll. They wanted to gut you, spill your guts, and then they would take the guts and they would wear them as a badge of courage. Or just let the blood run. It's deep, man. You got to check these people out. That's why it's important to get into the history. When you get into the history, you'll start to believe what these people do. This is what they do. They have killed everything, everywhere that you could imagine. And the British are the ringleaders, because you're going to find out the Britain, the Germans, the French, the Portuguese, the Spanish, they're all the same people as far as I'm concerned. And also the Jews are right in there with them. The German people, they're all the same people. And that's all I got to say, guys. Peace, peace.
Excellent, man. You know what? I agree with you 100%. And they come under the title, you're Asians. I can't even think of I got so much on my mind. Inhabitants, you're Asian. Another good book is Stolen Legacy by George Jane. For those of you who don't know, that's the original writing of a Professor James who did his own due diligence and proved that all of the knowledge that came out of Egypt that was translated by the Greeks and the Romans was all stolen. It was the legacy of a people that could not speak only because of the times. And when I say the times, I mean they couldn't articulate themselves in the manner in which the point can be stressed, nor was it interested in. I understand that. They wanted to keep the illusion going on. Okay, Brother Dave, is there anyone else? Thank you.
No, Brother Davis, not right now. I will let you definitely know. No, nothing right now. Oh, yeah. Okay, one problem. Just came up, Brother Davis. Sorry, Brother, this is out of NYC. Caller out of NYC. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What is your comment or question on this Wise Wednesday about the book that inspired you? Who's the author, and why was this so inspirational to you in your life?
Peace, everyone. This is Tag. Much appreciated on a...
Brother Tag!
Peace. Much appreciated on a very very strong broadcast thus far, and extremely important broadcast. I absolutely hear what you're saying, Brother Davis, about keeping the pen and pad ready. Have a lot of titles to look into, so just much appreciated for that.
Yo, brother, anytime, man. And I'm going to tell you something. Please feel free to add to the content, because I know you got something.
I would just offer one title up off the strength of this broadcast itself and this network and the kind of building that these platforms allow for. And that would be A Dying Colonialism by revolutionary psychiatrist Frantz Fanon.
Excellent. So how did you find it to be transforming to you with obtaining that knowledge from the book?
Absolutely. And the term transforming is very pertinent, because in that work, Frantz Fanon, I believe, coined, but at least uses the term, I'm pretty sure he coined it, radical mutation. And he uses that term to describe the uplift and the, with regard to the levels of the revolutionary process that he seen occur in the Algerian people. He referred to it as a radical mutation, that this was required in order to fulfill the revolutionary potential that, you know, was grasped onto by the Algerian people, you know, during that revolution. And the reason that it's so relevant to this discussion and to these platforms is that all throughout A Dying Colonialism, especially in the beginning pages, Fanon raises up the revolutionary potential of the radio, and he points toward the fact that the Algerian people, while let's say when the revolution was just starting to jump off, were very suspicious of this technology and associated it, you know, with the French and with Europe and et cetera, that as they began to recognize its capacity to mobilize the people, they made a complete 180 with regard to it, and people were clamoring for radios and, you know, would gather around a radio to see what was going on, to get their updates on the revolution. And it became as if, you know, it basically allowed them to feel directly connected, according to Fanon, directly connected to the living and growing revolution.
Excellent, man. Excellent. I'm glad to see that you can come give us some content to add to the quality of the show. Feel free to continue to do so and add anything that you think that may be content to for someone else, because with what you just gave, writing it down, it seems like it's going to have a time-consuming read that can give you some personal revelation. So I really appreciate that, my brother. Is there anyone else in queue?
No, not right now, Brother Davis.
Okay, I want to also add that there's a, for those of you who don't know, there's a excellent documentary on the, I think it's Netflix, called 13th. And for those of you who are not familiar with the 13th Amendment, it's powerful, it's insightful, and it deals with a lot of things that are going on in our community. And a lot of the people that you may literally be close to may be affected. And we really need to go ahead and take our time, as well as read. We want to watch those things that are contentual. And please, be prepared, because some of the stuff is hardening, but it's true. And we need to open the doors to that, because these are different fronts that we're going to have to take this battle to at one time or another. And here at Black Talk Radio, you hear Brother Scotty speaking about the 13th Amendment a lot. We have Abolitionist Radio, which comes on after this, which will give you a lot of insight on what's going on and how it's being leveraged on society today. So, this has actually been an excellent show. It's really taken off more so than I expected, but that's really why we do this on Black Talk Radio, because we want people to understand that we're not only learned and self-taught, but we're willing to go out here and find out information that will help us expand as people. So, at this particular time, I want to add that one of the writers that I spoke about earlier in the book, Kemet, was written by Matu Ashby, which was talked about earlier by, I believe it was Brother, I can't even think of it right now. I'm doing so much writing while things are going on. And look, if I miss some information, I still feel like I got more than enough of everything that I've been writing down. I've been quite busy in here, and that's one of the pluses in being able to be in a position that I'm in, because I only initiated the program. You guys are the show. And I'm going to tell you, you showed through big time tonight. I like to encourage everybody that Black Talk Radio has become a vessel that has become a part of all of our lives. Please keep that in consideration, because we are in need right now, because literally we're in the front, where we're fighting on the front. When I say we're in the front, we're fighting on the front. And we want to know that we want to be here as long as possible.
Hey, so hey, hey.
Yes, brother.
Oh, excuse me. Am I not muted? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. We want Brother Scotty and everybody here at Black Talk Radio to know that we are in their corner, and wherever we can help, we'd like to be a part of it. I want you to also consider this, that anytime you have anything coming up that deals with the community and what is going on there, whether it be a positive function or something you think we should know about as another attribute of the community, please feel free. When we have shows like this and they're called in, even if it doesn't add to the topic at hand, at least put it out there, because we may be able to get somebody in your area to be at maybe a rally or a school board meeting or something that's going to bring a more functional purpose into our lives. This is Brother Davis. I guess we're running kind of ahead of... Wow, I didn't know he was that far ahead. Okay,
Brother,
well, listen.
Brother Davis?
Yes, Father, come on.
Sir? Your knowledge is so great. This is Ramon. So, you made me think of things. I wanted to hear some other books that I think would... Specifically, one person on this show that really I would love to talk to outside the show is Brother Braggs. He's got some knowledge that I'm very into. Clive Cussler. He's deceased now. He's an author out of Denver, Colorado. He wrote three books, but two of them particularly that I think black people on this line today, if they read these two books, they would have no choice but to accept that there is no way they could put themselves anywhere but in America first. Here's the first book. The first book is The Sahara. They made a movie after it with Matthew McConaughey and I forget her name, Goldie Hawn's daughter, if anybody knows her name. It's called The Sahara. Then he wrote a second book called The Inca, Gold. Particularly, these books are supposed to be fictional, and he's a writer that wants to create a character like James Bond. And he talked about these ventures through a fictional character called Dirk Pitt, that they go around the world. He was a marine biologist, a scientist. And he wrote about his adventures and the things they discovered. I want everybody on this line to know today, I'm a firm believer that the computer is not new. This man wrote about the computer, and they found an archaic computer. He wrote about the symbolism of the Azteca people, and what he came up with in his book clearly was these were black people. Another author that I would ask people to look into, and he gives a pictorial vision along with his writing of who they found here in America, are Arnandos Montanos. He gives an action, and he even talks about, I guess it's very much like the Yorugu. He talks about how our religions, or what, no, I'm not going to call them religions, our practices here in America to the white people, Europeans, look like the diabolical practices. So they call us the devil. He talks about in this book the exorcists that the Spaniards brag about that they performed on us. He even show you pictures of the people that they were here amongst that they call the Indians, all the way up to what we know today is Colorado, Oklahoma, North Carolina, South Carolina, you name it. He talked about it. He even talked about their tongues, how they spoke, how these five civilized tribes came to be, and all this stuff like that that you will get out of this. Another person, and it's a documentary since you brought it up, John Hawks talks about the Neanderthal, or the Neanderthal. In this documentary, it's a five-part documentary. It's something you got to really sit down and pay attention to. Dr. Hawks says the Neanderthal, which something I never realized was their home was the Rock of Gibraltar, which is in Northwest Europe. He talks about how the Neanderthal, as they coexist,
with what he called the modern man, with, or the human. And in these documentaries, they show you the Neanderthal, which are clearly white people, and some of them look Asian. And he also points out that the modern man, which is clearly, you can't miss it, is African people. So, I mean, this I would encourage everybody to go look at the Neanderthal by John Hawks on YouTube. A lot of what we talked about today, y'all will have your answer right there from a white man telling you himself. He knows that they're Neanderthals. He's admitted it. When they show up pictorial, or when they do actual bust, actual drawings, actual reenactment, you never see a black person, not one, in that whole description of Neanderthal. And when you see him talk about modern man, you'll see us coming to the picture, which I don't understand how we get the title modern man, considering we were here before the Neanderthal. But John Hawks on YouTube, I think everybody should go look at the Neanderthal documentaries. Thank you.
Hey, Ramon, thanks a lot, brother. Brother Davis, thank you so much. We got to get ready to get out of here. The New Abolition Radio is coming on right after this. And remember, everyone, I think it's really, really important. Write a book. Write a book for your family, yes, as part of your prosperity. Very, very important. We got New Abolitions Radio coming on with Max, and Scotty will probably be chiming in there. It's never goodbye, everyone. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. I'm going to just say this real quick. I wrote a book for my family that I'll never publish, and it is known as Blue Purgatory. Do that for yourself and your family. It opens up so much for you and your family. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace, peace. Brother Bragg, get us out of here. So New Abolition Radio coming on right after this. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace, peace.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up.